It's the bachelor lifestyle.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Bachelor Lifestyle from TheBallerLifestyle.com. My name is Brian Beckner. I'm joined, as always, by Jason Stewart to talk Katie Thurston's... We're right about the midpoint of Katie Thurston's season, I believe. Jason, how are you?
Hello, everybody!
Wow. So, Jason... I believe this was episode 5. I think they usually do 10. So we're right at the halfway point. I will say this. When she kicked, it's still happening to me, when the guys she kicked off, a couple of them I'd never seen before. For sure. Like, I knew, I mean, not to spoil it.
I'm watching The Sun with my son, Jacob. I got him into this show, which, you know, I don't know if that makes me an awful dad, but he likes it.
Yeah,
for the same reasons I do, because we can laugh at him and stuff. And he and I told him that when the district attorney wasn't given the rose this episode, I'm like, that guy hasn't said one word on camera.
That's who that was. The guy from Newport.
If he made any impression on her, it was never shown that she even looked at him.
And
he's a district attorney from Orange County. He probably has got a great rap. Like, he's probably really pissed off that he got this kind of edit. Like, he looked like a total nobody.
Yeah.
He was like, I think he was like one of those guys that will have friends moving forward in the house, like guy buddies from The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And he'll just be hanging out with them because he was a good dude. But he didn't make one impression whatsoever on The Bachelorette. And that's the name of the show.
Well,
The
Bachelor. Yeah, he'll crush it on Bachelor in Paradise. He'll crush it there because he's tall, he's a lawyer, he's kind of racially ambiguous. He's got a lot going for him. Like, he's probably been to the off-campus pub because he's from Orange County or he works here. So
we never got clarification on whether the pub has been around. Yeah,
nobody's reached out to us about what's going on with the off-campus pub, which is a bummer. So what happened this week, Jason, other than we lost that guy whose name I still don't know?
The name is actually in my notes at some point, but we'll get there. Now, I will say this. You said that we're at the halfway point. This was a traditional episode. And by traditional,
straight up,
I mean like an episode that you would have seen 5 years ago before they changed. Like, at some point, the show realized that the cliffhanger was to be left until the next episode, as opposed to, I guess, like traditional, like movie, I'm sorry, like TV producers and suits are like, you have to give a rose at the end of each episode because that's the way TV works. You have to have closure.
Yep.
At some point they went, no, we need to save it until the next episode.
Smart.
This was they started out with a group date. Then they are a one-on-one, then a group date, then a one-on-one, and then the rose ceremony. And they actually gave away the rose, and it was a complete episode in its entirety.
Yeah, exactly how they used to do it. Although this was new in the sense that this is the part of the season where an uninvited interloper from a previous season shows up, and that happens every season now.
So our guy, the wildlife manager
Blake
from Canada, who, you know, we spent Claire's season with. You know, two episodes of Claire and then the rest of Tayshia's season with Blake. Very simple guy.
He's
very unremarkable, but he's got a nice smile. But he can't put he really can't put a sentence together without looking completely like just putting thoughts together looks overwhelming to him. I don't know. A lot of people in our lives, we have a couple of those buddies maybe that, like, just putting together simple thoughts looks hard.
Yeah.
And that's
– and he's got the accent, which would get annoying after a while. The breaking news, Andrew M.
He's the warrior.
Deputy district attorney from Newport Beach. Andrew M., 31. You will be missed.
And he probably thought – of the Andrews, him and Andrew S., that he would have lasted because he's like, oh, the other guy is a Vienna football player who talks in a British accent some reason.
He's also called Andrew?
Yeah, he's Andrew S.
God. Oh, yep, Andrew S., pro football player.
So, So Blake is joins the show.
Hold on. Andrew M. played 1 year of professional water polo in Hungary's first division, the most competitive league in the world. That's pretty good. But
I mean,
yeah, no.
I mean, I watched water polo throughout my son's career at Corona High School. He played 4 years. He lettered.
Yep.
And I had said after watching a few games that, like, if I were to do high school all over again,
yeah,
I would have just done water polo in the off season to have that chiseled body.
They're all jacked.
They're carved out of ice. I would have done that, been in shape for baseball and stuff, but I just would have played water polo to be in that shape. That guy must have an incredible body if he played professional.
It's expected that you'll do swimming too, which is the same season as baseball. So you're not, you can't do baseball and water polo. Those are mismatched sports.
I agree. So the lawyer from Newport Beach, Andrew.
Hold on. There's two more facts. There's two more. He played pro water polo one season. I mean, hey, whatever. Two more facts about him. Loves to sample men's fragrances from magazine inserts. Highly suspect.
That's really?
All I'll say. That's I've never done that. Have you ever done that? Yeah. Is that even still a thing? Who gets analog magazines anymore?
That's a good point.
Right? Okay, and here's the last thing. Here's the last thing that's going to drive you crazy for a couple reasons, probably. And Andrew M., I'm a fan of. When Andrew M. graduated from college, he Tebowed on the stage.
He Tebowed?
Was that when you, like, do, like, if you take a knee? What's Tebowing again? It's taking a knee, right?
I thought that was the Kaepernick.
Oh, the Kaepernick. Well, what's Tebowing? I remember it.
It does sound familiar that you take a knee and praise God or something.
Is it the same as when you get iced? Do you remember getting iced? Where somebody would be like, I mean, I never got iced, but and if I did, I would just say no. But that's when somebody would give you Tebowing. I'm looking it up right now. That's when somebody would give you unsuspectingly. Oh yeah, you take a knee and you like pray. You take a knee and then you put your elbow on your knee. And then you put your head down, like it, as if in prayer. So, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever thoughts about.
That's great. Okay. As you were saying?
I'm just saying that Blake is joins the room for the first time. And, like, we spoke last week how as the Bachelorette, as its own entity has evolved, men and society have become – much more in touch with their feelings, depending on, how old you are, maybe, and what your traditions are. You think men are a little softer.
Yeah.
Men are a little bit more, intolerable, however you want to put it. But whatever Gen Z millennial thing is, this season is a great example of that, because all these guys are bitches. Like,
yeah, they are.
I've never seen a group of guys that have no shame in pouting and really, like, again, showing their feelings. Like, I don't know a stoic person in this bunch, like a guy's guy, like a James Cagney.
I agree.
The silent type. Anyways, right. So Blake walks into the room and they do the very manly thing and ice him out and don't talk to him look at him with pouting eyes.
Well, Tayshia introduces him and it's so cheesy where she's like, someone from my past reached out to me, and it's such a lie. And all the guys are like, what? We did not sign up for this bullshit. But of course they did. And then what did they, well, somebody's like, how do you know each other or something? And Katie had to explain, like she had to like set them at ease, but she clearly been DMing with this dude. This show is so juiced. It's so much more juiced than it used to be. It's really kind of irritating for Bachelor purists like Jason Stewart and myself.
That's true. And as we theorized last week, you know, Katie was, you know, DMing this guy.
Yep.
And she told the producers, I'd like to Blake on my season.
Of course.
They said, we can't put him with the original 30. We're just going to make believe that he reached out to Tayshia, and but we'll get him in here, but you just need to play ball with us. And they go this stupid story. And I was thinking this, too, as a side note. And you bring in Tayshia, right? Tayshia walks into the room to tell the guys about this new person. Yeah. And I'm thinking that, like, how many of those guys – because, you know, Tayshia's not like Tyra Banks where, like – maybe there's 15 to 20 years separating these guys or whatever. It's like Tayshia was just the Bachelorette yesterday. So like she's smoking
hot. Actual last Bachelorette. I don't know. I'm kind of done with Tayshia though.
But okay. She's still smoking hot and she walks into a room and like just last season, if Tayshia walked into a room, she has 13 guys oohing and on like outwardly whistling. And I'm thinking how much restraint does it take these men who aren't much older than the last season of Bachelors, obviously, from doing that. Like, Tayshia walks in there. I know at least three or four of them are thinking it. You know, like, holy shit, look at that. Like,
yeah, but
she's right there.
How much restraint does it take anyone not to whistle when a good-looking woman walks into a room? Like, personally, I've done it zero times. I've felt compelled to do it zero times. I would say it takes almost no restraint not to openly ogle or do the arrrga just because an attractive woman happens to be somewhat near your presence.
So to your point, so at least half the room is saying, holy crap, I'd like to get her naked. But and thinking that.
Yes.
But the format of the show is the Bachelorette walks into the room and all the guys do something like vocally. Like that's just kind of the way this show works.
Yeah.
So anyways, Blake talks to the room. Katie tells the room why he's there and then does the real like shitty thing to the room. And not only does she like bring in a new guy into the show, but she gives him the first one-on-one date. It's like, you got to let this thing breathe for a little bit. But totally. Of course, the it's producer
disgusting.
To inject as much drama as possible. And I think Matt did the same thing last year. Like Matt handpicked Michelle to be on the show and they figured out some roundabout way to get her on the show where so they put dumb. Five women in and he chose her as a one-on-one like pretty early.
Yep.
So anyways, Katie goes out with Blake. Now, what we know about Blake is that he's a wildlife manager, which I've pointed out many times is a contradiction in terms. You can't manage wildlife by definition can't be managed.
So a really good point. It's got wild right there in the very first word of the compound word that starts the title of his job is wild.
So, but if you are going to be a wildlife manager and which implies that you are very close and you relate to wildlife, you can't also say horses terrorize me. Horses terrify me. That's what he tells Katie when he finds out that horseback riding is the activity of the day and horses terrify him. How is that? If this guy has been around wildlife, how could like horses that have been, you know, obviously
kept
and maintained by men for centuries, they're harmless animals that are very useful. Why would a horse of all animals terrorize you?
Well, I mean, horses are pretty, as someone that's been forced to spend time around horses, they're very big and they're kind of scary and they have huge dongs. They have huge dongs that randomly get erect for some reason. I don't even know why. And they're pink. But I thought it was interesting that the wildlife manager at the end of the horse riding thing was like, she's like, so how'd you feel about riding horses? And he's like, I loved it. He's like, I kind of want to get one. What the fuck is that? Like, aren't you supposed to, like, keep things wild? You're not supposed to collect animals just because you had a good time on one. Like, I kind of want to get one. What even is that? That's such a big commitment. It's just a random thing that he throws out. What else is he going to do impulsively?
Right. It's not like a golden retriever.
You get home and he's
have a ranch, and you need to have like stable. You don't just go out and get a horse on a whim. Also, if you're a wildlife manager, your line should be like, you know what? I think when I get home, I'm going to go out and start barebacking wild horses because I'm a wildlife manager. I'm just going to jump on a few and bareback them and ride around.
Jason, got a call a foul there. There's been a penalty on the play. It's your multiple uses of the word barebacking. Can you not?
That's a horse.
I don't think it is.
It's a horse term. Oh, I'd be almost 99% sure. That just means that you run up to a horse without a saddle and you ride it.
Can one of the horse people in our audience confirm to me whether or not barebacking is the preferred nomenclature?
I can almost guarantee it is. So we'll throw that out there and we'll leave that out there. There was a lot, and at the lunch, there was a lot of making out and aggressive making out for two people that quote unquote just met on a show. Like they've been up in each other's DMs. I might even say they've met in person based on how comfortable they looked in this one scene. It looks like they've been going out for a long time. So Blake is making out with Katie. Now the big I guess you would say date card.
Yes.
The group date card session. So all the guys get on the couch, right?
Mm.
And everybody is squeezed in for the date card.
Nobody
wants to be on the group date.
Now, I don't know if you want the one-on-one, but
if you've seen the show, you have to know that there's going to be at least three guys that remind you that in order to advance their relationship with the subject, they need to have their one-on-one time. They don't want to be on the group date.
And you know who's really bitching about one-on-one time is the guy with the that's rocking the black blazer with the black turtleneck with the chain over the turtleneck, because you're wearing a turtleneck, people can't see your jewelry, so you got to wear it outside. You got to have your show chain outside of the turtleneck. What's that guy's name?
That's a James, and that's a really bold look.
It really is.
Whether it's a fake bake or he just is like he lives on the sun, but he's got like this lobster tan, sea hair, and then turtleneck with the jewelry.
It looks like he got sunburned. Did he get sunburned doing the once again? Eventually, somebody's going to die in one of these challenges. The Bachelor now likes to do. They like to do testosterone fueled, helmetless, rugby. Right. Fucking made up sport like rugby / basketball games. Like they like to get the testosterone pumped up. They like to get all these jacked dorks out on the field and see which one of them is a potential psychopath. And we learned this episode that Hunter is in fact someone that will one day commit a murder.
So there have been promos leading up to this episode for a couple weeks that misled us, by the way.
They always do.
Hunter is a psychopath.
But yes, he is.
He wasn't the one that almost sent a guy to a hospital. What they did was that Hunter was the first to do something aggressive. They play this game, and we're moving forward a little bit before we get to the end of Blake's date, but they play this game that combines basketball with rugby. So it's basically basketball where you could just tackle and block the shit out of the other guy. And of course, as they do in all these competitions, they break them up into two teams, and the losing team doesn't spend – the rest of the night with Katie. Yeah. So there's a lot on the line because I don't know if you know this, but the only way to advance on the show is to get that quality time with Katie. So they are going balls out. Now, Hunter, I guess, was the first one. Somebody went up for a layup, and he just flat out, not even tackle. It was like a defensive back hitting a vulnerable wide receiver in the solar plex. Now, after that, they said Hunter set the tone, and then they just start ripping each other's heads off. Now,
yeah.
I can only imagine what the liability is for something like this. You have grown men in their mid-20s to mid-30s being very violent with each other with little or no protection.
Both of the hits that they showed would have been five-minute majors in the NHL.
Yes.
Both of the hits they showed would have been immediate ejections in the NFL.
Yes.
Like, these are cheap shots.
And I can speak for someone who's pulled many muscles and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, at the very least,
I've pulled a muscle.
There's going to be like some bad muscle pulls, some broken bones. They must have had to sign their life away. There's no way in hell that show allows that to happen without being fully free of liability. Yeah. Now, Hunter sets the tone, but then we see like three or four people almost get killed.
Yep.
And then our guy, and I'm trying to look at his name.
Michael
here.
A.
Well, Michael A is the single father.
He's the victim. He's the one that gets victimized.
He's the least muscular, least masculine of this entire crew.
He's pretty fey, but also he's like, I can't believe I got to take my shirt off because all these guys are jacked. And it's true that they're all jacked, but Michael's not like fat or anything. Like, he's just like kind of normal, not really, doesn't really have like a lot of extra body fat. He's just like kind of fine. Like, no one would look at him and think he looks bad without his shirt off.
So but he gets, I didn't really look at it because literally it was like one of those things where I couldn't look. I was cringing at what might happen. It was so violent. It was so reckless.
Well, and then he's running free and someone comes up and jacks him from behind.
From behind. Okay. Yeah. So he snaps his neck. It was like, and then he hits his head on the ground or something afterwards. So, anyways, it's the artist, the guy that paints everything. He's the one who actually laid the hit.
Trey?
No, it was the other dude. I forget his name, but he plays like he's always painting Josh. Shit for her. Josh. Okay. So,
I don't
Josh
know actually. Jesse, yeah.
They got the paramedics out there. The last 2 weeks we've been under the impression that Hunter was the guy that put the guy, Justin is his name. Justin. So anyways, Katie at that point comes in and says, "That's it, guys. We're calling." It's like, that did it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Should have called this thing after the first hit. Yes. Like, she let this thing go on way too long. Right.
Well, I like how they were supposed to believe that Katie is in charge of the game. Like, she
was. But that's the thing. Yes. There were no officials. What were the rules? Because, you know what they did? They had the guy who I think is trying out for Harrison's spot, the permanent guy, the Wells. They have Wells.
Wells Adams.
And then the very effeminate gay man that has been like a hairdresser.
Yeah, who is he?
But Marco, he's just become the bachelor.
Oh, he's just like there?
He's just a guy who does these things, and he's very effeminate, and it gets all the guys are a little uncomfortable. But they showed them like doing calisthenics and stuff, but I don't remember any rules being exchanged. It's basically like you can kill people for your chance to be with Katie. And so anyway, she calls it. She's the referee. And then this is what she does. She says, "You know what? You guys are all winners. And you know what? I'm going to be the old guy on the lawn here. My generation."
Yeah. Participation trophies.
This is what how my generation reacts to that one. Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. I just put my body on the line for this. I literally risked my health because the rule was the winner gets the time with you tonight.
Yep.
And you just handed us all trophies, participation trophies. Bullshit. But you know what? Not one guy did that. They had no guy complaining either on camera or on the side.
I know.
All of them like jump for joy because they were all raised on participation trophies.
Yep.
All these guys were like, yeah, we're all winners. All right. Yep. And then they went to the cocktail hour and I'm thinking, you gotta be shitting me.
Yeah.
I would have been pissed.
I agree. No, it was bullshit. And that's the thing about this show. Look, back in the salad days of The Bachelor, there was some hard and fast rules to this shit. You couldn't just show up in the middle of a season and get balls deep with The Bachelorette. Now that happens every season. You couldn't just be like, hey, I know I didn't get a rose on this one-on-one, but I want to stay. And they're just like, okay, I guess you're staying because they do that now.
Right.
Like there used to be rules to this shit and now there are no rules. And now it's like, hey, try to kill each other in this game with no rules and no officials. It's basically just elbow each other in the face until somebody quits. And then whoever wins gets to hang out with the Bachelorette. But she changes it and just like, actually, everybody gets to hang out with me. That's bullshit. These guys went out there and fought and died on the field almost. And now they don't get anything for their trouble.
My thing is this, like, and she even acknowledged it, too, because maybe you were like, oh, maybe they played to a tie or no. She said the black team beat the blue team. Like she said, the black team had more points. And in sports, having more points means you won.
Yeah.
If the game ends in rain or what have you, you had more points. Yeah. You won.
Yeah.
Anyways, runs. God, that pissed me off.
It's really lame.
So before we get to the group date cocktail, I need to kind of wrap up what happened with Blake. Okay. So Blake, they're just going at each other, making out at the lunch, and then at dinner, Blake, and I guarantee the producer told him to ask her something, and it just didn't come out right. This is what the producer wanted to do. The producer wanted to put sex positive out there, and they wanted Blake to try to discuss it with Katie. So Blake says something along the lines of, why are you so sex positive?
In other words, he
said something like that, right? and to me, it's like Katie kind of saves the show by telling this extremely sad story about how she was assaulted. And then she became obsessed with this guy because she thought that the only way to make up for this assault or something was to be in a relationship with him. It's just an awful story.
Horrible.
She's told it before, and then she told it to Blake last night. Obviously, he didn't know about it. But it kind of saves the show a little bit because it throws a sentimental story in there to offset or distract the show from having to explain what sex positive is. Yes. We still need to explain what it is, and then when you start explaining what it is, then you become very like misogynistic or something, because only men can be sex positive. Like, why is a female sex positive? Like, what makes you that way? That's a very dangerous, like, treacherous ground to cover, and they didn't get into it.
And then he has to say he's sex positive. Like, she's like – she tells the horrible story of a situation, using her words, where there was no consent. Take that to mean whatever you take it to mean. And then he goes, well, as a sex positive man or something like that. And I was like, dude, she just talked about getting raped. Like, we don't need your sex positive status. Okay.
It's like, I don't know if the show is self-aware enough to understand how bad that terminology is for the show. But anyways, Blake does a really bad job of trying to say something that you're supposed to say to a vulnerable woman who just told you a bad story, but he's very bad at it and he's not sincere. It looks like he looks very overwhelmed. He looks overwhelmed.
A lot of guys, in Blake's defense, you know, he's just a big dummy. Like, he's not, he's not equipped to have these kind of conversations just in life, much less on TV. You know, it's just too much. He doesn't know what to say.
He's a beefcake and he's a meathead.
Yeah, he is. And he's kind of cross-eyed. Canadian. Yeah, he's also kind of cross-eyed.
Yeah. Right. He's kind of cross-eyed. So, anyways, that was a very unusual, uncomfortable exchange. But the great thing is the date's not over. And what do they have to do? They go into a room where a Caucasian band is playing a country, not country song.
Just
and
like.
the lead singer's name is Lane Hardy.
And hold on. We've been fooled by that before where there was one that was just like a person's name and we're like, oh, that's the person's name. And it turns out that was the name of the band. So are we confirmed Lane Hardy is a guy and not a band?
It's a guy because my son said right away he won American Idol. Lane Hardy won American Idol. So it's not like Pink Floyd. It's not the name of the band. It's actually Lane Hardy from American Idol.
Got you. Okay. Fair enough.
And I was thinking to myself that, you know, all the shit that we all went through in Bachelor Nation over the last year with everything that went on with, you know, Rachel at the plantation party and Matt and all this stuff. I'm thinking the show has come a long way. Like we went through all that. And finally, we get to a point where a Caucasian singer is serenading two white people on a dance floor.
So rare, yes.
I'm glad that we finally get to that point where that happens on this show.
I know. I'm just glad they're getting back to old school Bachelor stuff.
Right. So, yeah. So that does it for Blake's date. And then they get to this rugby basketball date. They call it the Bachelorette Bashball Battle, by the way, for those that like alliteration like I do. And, you know, nobody loses. Everybody wins. They're all fired up. And let me tell you this. You know our guy Aaron, who Aaron was the guy who – basically was responsible for getting Cody out.
Yeah, he's the bitch. He's the bitch. There's always one bitch on every episode. He's the bitch.
And Aaron is also the guy that did the consensus building, and he got the rest of the house against Thomas.
Yeah.
Thomas is no longer. Now, you would have never known that because you went to sleep, but Thomas is no longer.
Well, I know that because we did it on the episode last week. You told me.
Right. So it looks like Aaron has Hunter in his sights. Aaron's doing what he's doing. He's starting to become uncomfortable with Hunter's aggression. And Aaron is starting to do the same thing he did to Thomas. He's starting to get people on his team of hating Hunter. So that's how the cocktail hour kind of plays off. That's kind of the subplot. Now, we learned a couple things at the cocktail hour, okay? Courtney with a Q. R.I.P., by the way. We say goodbye to Courtney with a Q at the end of this episode.
He I like when he gets kicked off and everybody's like, hey, later, Q.
Later, Q. Courtney with a Q.
Yeah.
Now, this had or it had nothing to do with him being sent home, but it couldn't have helped because – remember Courtney with a Q was all about the puns when he walked out of the limo. And his puns weren't necessarily puns as they were just obvious sexual innuendo. Yeah. There was nothing very veiled about it. There was nothing subtle about it. And this time around, he really did himself a favor by draping himself in toilet paper and telling Katie that he wants to be her toilet paper when all the shit goes down.
Oh, I didn't see that. What? How did I miss that?
You love defecation humor.
I hate it. Oh my God. You know, some producer, some sleaze talked him into that where they're like, hey, I've been waiting to do this. This is a perfect time. Like a couple other guys wanted to do it, but I wanted to give it to you. here's the joke we're going with. It's you're going to get some big time camera time out of this and probably a shot on Bachelor in Paradise. You can be the guy that shows up with toilet paper, disgusting, on Bachelor in Paradise. What do you think? And he's like, yeah, I'm into it. Let's do it.
And then say when the shit goes down, you want to be there for her.
Disgusting. So, don't say it again.
Yeah. So Courtney got sent home and maybe that little scene did it for him. Who knows? But anyways, the Virgin gets in and he took a big step. The Virgin, Mike, the Virgin baseball player. He says, you know, I like to use first sports analogies. So I'm going to try to get to first base right now. And he starts making out with her. Little does Mike the Virgin know that he's about 18th in. He's about the 18th guy that's done that.
Totally okay. Do we know the bases? Somebody explain the bases to me as different levels of the body. So first base is like head, like kissing. Second base is breasts. You do the math on the rest.
I've always gotten the impression that first base wasn't even kissing. I thought first base was holding hands.
Oh.
Second base was a kiss. Third is like foreplay, feeling up or foreplay or something. Oh. And then home run is everything. But like,
oh.
So he may have gotten his bases wrong, but I think that people have their own bases. But we'll have our listeners Google that.
It's confusing.
So I just thought it was funny how he thought this was a big step. Little does he know, you know, he's really late in making out with her. Hunter, the psycho, is real proud of the way he set the tone during the rugby match. Yeah. He was a little Tasmanian devil, as somebody put it. And he does have that like rabid look to him. Like there's something going on. He's dealing with a lot of demons, I think.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is.
Now, remember, during the AA meeting where everyone did circular chairs and admitted awful things about themselves.
He worked too much.
He worked too much. Yep. And he's got a couple kids.
Yep.
And him working too much ruined his marriage. And that was his big reveal. So now he brings kids' pictures to the little cocktail hour one-on-one. You know, that. Bringing kids' pictures is a pretty darn good way to not get voted off the show.
Or,
I don't want to waste your time. Yeah, you're right.
It's like, hey, here's my baggage. Hey, remember all this baggage I have? Here's evidence of the baggage I'm carrying with me. Here's what you're going to be stuck with later.
I think you're right. It could go either way. So I guess it's a pretty risky move. She loves it. She calls it the cutest thing ever. Obviously, you're a proud dad. That's awesome. So she plays it up so much so that this guy gets a rose. He gets a rose. First of all, he's like 5'3".
Yeah.
He's not much taller than she is. Yeah. And he gets a rose and everybody's pissed because first of all, Aaron is getting all the rest of the guys against the guy for being too aggressive.
Yep.
He set the tone as a wild guy during the game, and then he gets the rose. Hunter's takeaway is this. I don't know if this is going to bode too well. He says on camera, I got a rose because I was the aggressor in rugby.
Yeah.
So from now on, I'm going to be very aggressive.
Yes.
I don't know how that will play. I don't know long term how that's going to work. But he seems to think that he got the rose because of his rugby play as opposed to the kids' maneuver. Anyways, he gets a rose, so we're going to see more of Hunter around the house, which is nice. But you could see the underbelly of resentment from the other guys. And Hunter, some guys when they get a rose, get a little bit more humble. They could chill a little bit because they're not going to be around more. And then there's Hunter. He gets empowered and he is going to become the obnoxious asshole that only cares about his relationship with Katie now. Even though he basically just called Thomas last episode out on being about just him and Katie, now he's going to be that guy. So we'll see how that works for him.
Yep.
Now, Greg. Greg. Oh, my goodness.
From Edison, New Jersey.
What do we think about Greg? Because you remember Mike A told a couple of guys at the workout mat, and then he told Katie this awful story about his wife dying.
Yeah.
Okay. They knew each other 16 years. He's obviously not over her. Like, this is going to be his undoing. He's still in love with his deceased wife. Nothing against that. You're just not going to become engaged if you wear that on your sleeve.
He also later, not to spoil it, but he also dropped a yesterday was her birthday later in the show. Like, just guy.
And that's what I'm saying.
Hold on to that info. Like, yeah.
He told Katie in the one-on-one session it was her birthday, and he starts tearing up. And I could see in her head what she's thinking. That's so sweet. That's amazing. There's no way in hell I can marry this guy. And so I think for the third or fourth time in this season, he asks her if he can kiss her.
Asking. I get it. Again. I get we want consent for everything. But, like, just move in and see how she reacts, okay? I'm not saying, like, go against her will, but come on. The asking is, like, pretty beta.
I mean, the dude's had his one-on-one date. He has definitely got her attention. He has her really liking him. There's no reason to ask permission anymore. We're good. Now, Greg, though, as all the guys are sitting on the couch, Mike A chooses this time to tell everybody the story that they haven't heard. He talks about the dead wife and 16 years, and he has a child. And Greg just starts bawling his head off right next to him, like getting very emotional. And Greg is like, he does that cliched thing where he's like, it just shows you that, you know, you have to live every day like it's your last. And perspective and crying.
It's great.
And then he takes that into his one-on-one with Katie and takes his shot. But, like, what do we think about Greg at this point? When you watch that, what's your perception of this whole thing?
I don't know. Like, he's not going to win. I mean, he might. Wait, I predicted that he was going to win at the beginning because they had that moment over their dead dads.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, he might still win. I don't know. I can't get with any of these guys. I don't like any of them.
I don't know. My thing is this. Dude, we really feel for you. Like, sure. That is a really awful story, and you have been through a ringer, and I empathize with you. But he was like, he couldn't control himself, this Greg guy.
Yeah.
And again, this is a generational thing that I'm just disconnecting with these guys. But anyways, Greg takes that into his one-on-one with Katie, and Katie's like, I'm glad that you're expressing yourself this way because you've been kind of down, and I thought you might leave the show.
Yeah.
And Greg's like, what? No, not at all. In fact, I just got this newly gained perspective, and I'm going to take this to the end. So anyways, I just found that all that weird. So the one guy that was not allowed on the group date is our guy, Andrew S, the Vienna football player.
Yep.
From Chicago.
Yep.
Who speaks in a British accent.
Yep.
Every once in a while. Now, his one-on-one date with her, it takes place at night, and she takes his hand and walks him out into the woods, and he's like openly worried and frightened. Like he can't contain himself. He's just very afraid, and it shows, and he's showing this to Katie. Again, my theme in this entire episode is, why are these dudes expressing so much?
It's a lot. But anyway. It's a lot. It's, I think it is a generational thing.
So
they think their emotions are really important, and they want to tell everybody how they feel all the time. You know, this comes down to parenting. You know, their mothers told them they were special, and that's a problem.
And that leads me to my next thought here. So after this long ass date where they go to this lit up area and jump for envelopes and dig deeper, and Andrew showing his personality and all this stuff, like, there's just this thing going on where, like, I thought Andrew S. was kind of a joker, kind of a guy that's kind of fun to have around, but he's got zero future in the show.
I agree.
But Andrew turned the corner, I think. Like, he...
Yeah,
I think there was a coin flip chance she was going to send him home.
Like, by getting emotional, you're saying it helped him.
The dude tells a story about how his dad was sent to prison and was never around, and it impacted his childhood, and he could never do that to his family.
Oh.
Himself in a position, and she related because her dad, I guess, was an asshole.
Yeah.
So now they're on really good terms after that whole reveal. So Andrew S., who I thought there's a coin flip chance of him actually going home, he gets a rose with, like, flying colors. And by the way, again, I'm watching this with my son Jacob. Now, I like kind of like getting the perspective of first time watchers, because we've been in it so long, we're so much in the weeds that, like, we kind of maybe miss some obvious things that are ridiculous. He said, when everybody was bitter about Hunter getting the rose, like, Greg was, like, openly pissed off and stuff at the group date and stuff.
Yep.
Jacob's like, how come they're so heartbroken? Can't they still get the rose at the rose ceremony?
Yeah, I know.
And that's exactly right. That's
yeah, the game's not over.
That's a very astute thing. Like, why be so heartbroken and affected and let Katie see you that way when you still have a lot of the show to go, and you still have a very good chance of getting a rose because only two or three guys are going home. I thought that was a funny comment. So anyways, Andrew S. wins her over. He gets the rose too. So yeah. Going into the rose ceremony, Hunter is very empowered.
Yeah,
he's got the rose.
Got a rose.
Blake's got the rose because Katie this entire time has been wanting Blake to be on the show.
Disgusting.
And then Andrew S. I think Andrew S. becomes the second guy on this show that Katie says, I can see myself being with him at the end of this show. She says that after their one-on-one date. And she said that about Blake after yep. his one-on-one date.
Yep.
So she's Malarkey. Really painted herself into a corner here.
Yep. I mean, did she not say that about Greg from Edison, New Jersey after episode one when he told the story about his dead dad?
Very close. And yep. then she said something similar about Michael A.
Yep.
So she's going down that road where yep. she's going to be in love with multiple guys and then like at the end just not be secure with any of them.
Yep.
So anyways, we go to the rose ceremony. Looks like we're going to finish an episode and like do an actual rose ceremony within the episode.
That's right.
And Hunter, again, he doesn't take a step back because he's got a rose. He amps up the aggression. He sets up a couch outside the cocktail party with a telescope. And he says to her, I brought this from home.
What?
This dude brings a telescope from home.
You know how hard it is to bring shit? And that's a sensitive instrument. You can't just bring that on the plane.
You can't just check it? Or you can't?
No,
you can't,
it's insane.
Put it with the luggage, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You'd have to get one of those Pelican cases that are very expensive. Yeah.
And then don't you have to like recalibrate it when it gets to its destination?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm calling bullshit on yes. that. You don't just bring a telescope from home. And what? And if you had one, why would you bring one?
Yes,
they probably just rented one from Radio Shack
down
the street,
or
wherever the hell you get a telescope.
Radio Shack.
yeah, wherever you get one of those things that you look at stars.
Yeah,
where I have no interest. So check this out. Yeah. Hunter, I guess by sitting on the couch and looking through this telescope, that takes a lot of time. And yeah. what does that do? It takes time from everybody else.
Yep.
And so they show guys bitching about Hunter, who has a rose, choosing to spend a lot of time with her, which in their mind yeah. is selfish.
Well, it is.
In our mind, it's he wants to be the guy that wins the show.
The whole whole can I steal you for a minute thing is just fucking old. I'm so sick of it. They should make like 2 minute allotments. And I get why they're doing it. They want people to interrupt each other. But it's so dumb. It's so trite. It's just been going on too long. Find another lane.
You will admit that a couple weeks ago, you were like, when are these guys going to get a backbone and say, dude, no, I'm not going to leave. And Hunter did that. James with the turtleneck and the gold chain walked up and wanted to interrupt the telescope session. And Hunter's like, no, dude, we just got here. I need a couple more minutes. So at the very least, Hunter is like amping up the aggression, pissing off everybody else. And the guy that is really kind of becoming the biggest bitch of the show is Trey.
Which one's Trey? Trey's the guy with the high top fade. He whines a lot.
He spends a lot of time being the fairness police. Everybody should get the right amount of time. I think somebody misinformed Trey that the object of the show is to try to have Katie fall in love with 15 separate guys who got their fair share of time to be with her.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody told him that coming in, that the idea isn't to win her heart. It's to make sure all your guy peers get enough time with her. Because everybody, it's a fair world. Everybody gets trophies. So Trey did not get time with her at the cocktail party. Well, that's a reason to throw down.
It is.
Because now he might not get a rose because Hunter, who had a rose, took up too much time.
Yep. It's lame.
Getting the little fact that if you want your time, you could just go up and take it or ask for it at the very least. But Trey decided to just sit there and bitch as opposed to go get your woman. So it comes down to this, okay? Everybody is at the rose ceremony. The big drama this time around is Hunter going home, but who's going to be sent home because Hunter took so much time?
Yeah, it's Hunter's fault.
In other words, the three or four guys that she sends home tonight has nothing to do with the fact that she doesn't want them on the show. It has nothing to do with the fact that she doesn't see them as her potential fiance. It's because Hunter took up too much of their time at the cocktail party. And that's in Trey's mind. That's how he's thinking. And of course, she strings Trey out to the very end. They have him bitch camera and it comes down to the final rose. And it's Trey, the lawyer from Newport Beach.
Yep.
Another guy that hasn't done a whole lot. And then another guy who hasn't done a whole lot.
Courtney with the Q. Courtney with the Q. Yeah.
And we know he's gone home because he did crap humor with his one-on-one.
Yeah, time. Yes.
So it comes down to those guys, and she salvages Trey by giving him a rose.
Yeah.
So emergency avoided. Hunter's time did not take away his time on the show. He's going to advance. So going home is the Newport Beach attorney that neither of us know anything about because he got zero airtime on the show.
Yep. Sorry to see him go. He's back to Hungary to play water polo.
Some other vague dude who didn't get a lot of airtime. He was just like one of the guys.
Didn't recognize him at all.
And then Courtney with a Q. No more Courtney with a Q.
R.I.P.
We're probably going to have to get back with Courtney with a C.
Right.
You know.
No. Well, there is no other Courtney.
I know. I'm saying from now on on The Bachelor and in the history of man, I think we're just going to have Courtney with a C.
Right. Good point. Well, eventually all these guys will show up on The Bachelor in Paradise. So let's hope. Anything we need to – we're looking to have anything from the previews for next week?
Previews, there's a lot of crying.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah. I think
but I couldn't tell if that was the whole – that's the whole season, right? That's not just next week.
Ton of crying. There was, I always look for which scenes would be the deception scenes. And there is a low angle of, I think it's Michael in a groom's suit, tux.
Uh-huh.
And then her in a wedding dress. really close to each other, and guess what? That's probably like
it's a no date.
Right, it's gonna be one of those stupid dates where they take pictures.
Hey, practice. Yes, they did that. Well, they did that last. Hold on.
Yeah,
they did that last season with Zach and Tayshia, and then they ended up. He ended up winning.
Exactly right. But so, for the, could be I think a thing. I really think they do those dates so that they could show these promos and fool people. Like they, somebody actually thinks that those two are the final two. And then to end the date, Hunter sticks with his new brand of aggression. Aaron starts to throw a toast. He's like, I'm Aaron, and I'm always going to talk like this. And I'm always, you know, it's there's a lot of obstacles this season, but I'm going to. And then Hunter just breaks in.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just finishes the toast. And that's going to be Hunter from now on.
Yeah, Hunter and sucks.
It's probably going to wear thin.
Well, because they got rid of Carl because he was like too on the nose in terms of being a disruptor. They needed a more, they needed just a regular psychopath. And they're like, and that's what I've argued on the show. Like, you don't need to bring in, you don't need to juice it because by virtue of the fact that they were chosen to be on the show, a couple of these dudes are going to be psycho. And we're seeing that with Hunter, and we're seeing that with the guy who's the bitch, Aaron.
Great point.
Yeah.
I think that that's a great point to end on.
Yes.
No need to plant.
No plants.
These people aren't dramatic anyways, and if you have good casting people, they're going to find these psychopaths.
100%. Okay. We'll check in again with you guys next week. For Jason Stewart, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been The Bachelor Lifestyle from theballerlifestyle.com. We'll see you next time.
The most dramatic ever. That's what we like. Play your cards right, you might end up on paradise. Here's the key to the fantasy suite. Balls deep so you can sleep with your third or fourth girl in a week. We making a connection and falling in love. We chilling in the mansion outside the hot tub. We starting in L.A. and then we travel the world. We toasting champagne, we got 32 girls. Who gets a hometown and who's the most hated? Who had the best date and who's getting eliminated? We always speculating like you wouldn't believe. But I cheated, logged on to reality Steve. So it's the bachelor lifestyle we living in. It's the baller lifestyle we living in. It's the bachelor lifestyle we living in.